Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, from high atop the MTS Center ice surface. Welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, joined in the press box by my colleague Richard Pollock and producer Michael Remus. Winnipeg Jets lost in Timu Solani's final game here in Winnipeg by a 3-2 margin. And Richard, I appreciated you elbowing me when I started snoring. This game was a snoozer.
Yeah, Drew, it wasn't an exciting game at all. The Jets didn't come to play. And you thought maybe after being down in the first, being up after the first period, although they didn't deserve to be up, and the fact that they were outplayed, you thought maybe they would come back and have a good second and third, kind of similar to the game on Friday. And that wasn't the case. The first period, they got lucky to lead, and they were lucky to be in this game until the last 5 minutes, which we'll break down in a second. But they didn't take advantage of that luck today, and they did not deserve to win this game, and they didn't deserve to be in it.
Yeah, and so that would explain why they lost 3-2. It was the Andre Pavlik show again. I mean, yes. The Jets got outshot 34-17. Andre Pavlik made...
Can't get doubled up at home in the shot category.
Doubled up. It's incredible. 17 shots in, against not... I mean, the Ducks are not known for being a clampdown defensive team.
100% right, Drew. You're right. Absolutely.
I mean, so the Ducks outshoot him 34-17. Pavlik has to stand on his head, you know, throughout the course of the game. And he does, for the most part. And the Jets just did everything in their power to literally give the puck away and the game away to the Anaheim Ducks.
You know, nobody really looked good tonight. Aside from Pavlik, as you mentioned. And who else really stood out to you, right? Like that's something you got to ask. And I know Claude Noel was shuffling lines a bit, but...
I thought Blake Wheeler had a couple dangerous rushes, but other than that was it.
Yeah, he was solid.
Yeah, well, Evander Kane I thought was okay. But, you know, the centerman and the centerman, nothing to write home about for the most part.
Yeah, no, I mean, they were brutal tonight, Drew. I mean, that's the problem. You're shuffling around Scheifele and Jokinen, and neither of them are giving you anything. I know Scheifele got his ice time cut down there, and I think deservedly so. That's, again, the problem, right? You know, long-term, short-term. What's for his development? What's best for him? And tonight he just wasn't doing anything. Setoguchi was fairly invisible tonight. You really could say the whole team was fairly invisible tonight. Nobody impressed. Enstrom was particularly awful, I thought.
Well, I mean, nobody was as bad as Grant Clitzel on the back end.
Clitzel was awful too. But Enstrom just didn't have confidence with the puck. He didn't pinch that one time in the third that he should have.
Yeah.
The end of the game, just doesn't know where to go and just seemed to be holding the stick a little too tight. So overall, it was a Pavlik and nothing else.
That's a fair way to put it. The Jets did open the scoring in this game. They did so at the 9:06 mark of the first period. It was a power play goal. Andrew Ladd with the deflection, so I think it sort of incidentally was deflected by him a little bit.
Oh, no. That was
a deliberate tip?
Oh, yeah, deliberate tip and a nice one. That puck was going wide, and Ladd got... It was really... You watch the replay again, Drew. It's a really nice one. Yeah.
I'll look at the replay closer. Yeah. Wheeler took the shot. He sort of walked in from on the to the left of Nicholas Fast. Mm-hmm. Pardon me, Victor Fast.
Yep.
He walked in, and he fired a wrist shot that you say is going wide. I have every reason in the world to believe you. Andrew Ladd got a stick on it, and he put it top corner on Victor Fast. The Jets had a 1-0 lead, and you thought, okay, they can maybe take advantage of a tired opponent again.
Yep. You know, power play, crowd into the game, crowd particularly into it, here early to watch Timu and warm up, and loud, really loud on puck drop, but no, that didn't seem to help.
No, it didn't help, because a minute 10 later, Matthew Perreault, new acquisition by the Anaheim Ducks this offseason. It was late this offseason also, wasn't it?
Towards the end. Just the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, right at the end of training camp. Bruce Boudreau obviously knows him from their days in Washington together. He gets the Ducks on the board. Assist to Ben Lovejoy and Jacob Silverberg, who they got in the Bobby Ryan trade from Ottawa. It was a shot that got through Andre Pavlik. Toby Enstrom, you mentioned, he had a tough night. He sort of missed his check on this play. His check should have been Perreault. Perreault had a wide open net to shoot into.
Yeah, I thought Perreault, just, you know, in terms of Anaheim players, Perreault showed some nice patience being their second line center. I mean, that's a huge switch for him from Washington to come to Anaheim. And as you mentioned, Boudreau has some trust in him, and he played on a line with Dustin Penner, although it shifted around a bit, but Dustin Penner and Jacob Silverberg. Penner looked his regular self. I thought Silverberg flashed some nice flashes of his talent level, and his two goals coming into tonight's game. He gets another assist, and I like what I saw for the most part of him.
Yeah. Before the first period was up, at the 16-17 mark of the first period, the Jets regained the lead, 2-1 for Winnipeg. Andrew Ladd with his second of the game, second of the year. Blake Wheeler misses the shot, misses the net with a shot, bounces right off the end boards to Andrew Ladd on the other side of the ice, and he takes sort of a slap shot and he banks it in off of Victor Fast.
Yeah, Ladd's a goal scorer. Right? He didn't have a great game, I thought, overall, but he gets the two goals, and that's what goal scorers do. Yeah, Wheeler misses the net, and Ladd waiting for it on the other side. Fast has to get across the net quicker. I thought that was an issue for him.
Mm-hmm.
But Ladd gets rid of it quickly, and that's a goal. Again, and a goal scorer notices. I think he doesn't take a second. Wait, he gets the puck on net, and I thought that was an opportunistic goal. Bounced right, and then the Jets were getting bounces today too, which is why you want them to get a game like this, but didn't happen.
No, exactly right. That was it for the first period, and then the second period, which was just paint drying dull. I mean,
yeah,
right up until the end of the period, where the Jets have just killed off an Anaheim power play, can't get the puck out of their own zone. They have three defensemen on the ice because it was who took the penalty there? Was Klitson. That Mark? Was that Klitson penalty?
Yeah, I believe so.
They're running around in their own zone, and you know, as you see, when you start running around, bad things happen. And it's Andrew Cogliano with 5 seconds to go in the period. He gets the goal from Daniel Winnick and Saku Koivu.
Truba and Stewart got a little bit mixed up here in terms of coverage, and they didn't have their man. Cogliano batted out of the air on a tip, so it was a nice goal. But Truba and Stewart, communication issues there. And I believe that happened last game, too, so they're going to have to work that out. But, you know, Truba doesn't know who Stewart has, and the low set center, which is an issue because there's no necessarily a center when you're on the PK, and Klitson's playing wing. So the defensive alignment was all messed up. And again, communication, especially when you don't have guys on, you know, center, left wing, right wing, when you have two penalty killers and a defenseman plus two other defensemen, you need to communicate, and they weren't.
That's right. And so at the end of 40 minutes of this game, it was 2-2. Before we get to the third period and what ended up being the game-winning goal, talk to me. What did you think about the Jets' defensive pairings? Because this is their top six, supposedly. They kept Buff and Enstrom together. Klitson gets back into the lineup for the first time this year after he had been on injured reserve to start the season. He plays with Bogosian, as most people sort of expected to start the season. Jacob Trouba goes down and was on the third defensive pairing with Mark Stewart.
Yeah, the Jets weren't great defensively tonight. I got to see more of those pairings before I can comment. I thought some guys, you know, had Klitson and Enstrom had bad games, but I have to see a little bit more to determine whether or not those pairings work or not. But the thing is, as we talked about on the show on Saturday, yesterday, you know, they had succeeded in terms of winning, but they didn't succeed in terms of defending over the first two games. So I thought it was, I like the fact that Noel did break up those lines, even though those pairings, in one sense. In the other sense, Bogosian and Trouba did look like they were forming some chemistry. But then you have Bogosian on the wrong side of the ice, which we talk about, and which sometimes seems important, sometimes doesn't. I will point to the fact about the next goal that I think that is a factor.
Okay, let's get to that then.
Okay.
The third period's going on, and it's now like watching grass grow as opposed to watching paint dry, until with about 5 minutes to go in the game, 5 minutes and 31 seconds to be specific, Zach Bogosian goes back behind his own net to pick up a puck. Corey Perry is just sort of marking him in front of the net, just as you see happen in a routine play countless times. Bogosian combination blows a tire and fans on the puck, puts it right out in front to Corey Perry standing wide open, and Corey Perry doesn't miss that opportunity. He puts a top shelf.
That's the wrong guy to drop it to, Drew. You're talking about a guy who scored 50 goals in the National Hockey League before. And Bogosian just lost the puck. It's a fluke play, and he falls down. But where is he coming from? He's coming from the left side. I believe he's playing the left side on that play, left side to right side. And how often have we seen him go behind the net with speed? He was coming the other way, and he's done
as opposed to coming right side to left side like he normally does.
Exactly. So I mean, it depends, and he comes out the other way too. It depends on the play, but I just think that sometimes when you're going on the opposite way, you haven't practiced that just as many times, and it's a fluke play anyways, but I just think probably less so if it's coming the other way. So at the end of the day, what can you do about that play? It's a brutal turnover to the worst possible place, and Perry roofs it. Most guys probably wouldn't even be able to roof it from there, but Bogosian playing on the other side, coming from the other side, I thought might have been a small factor. And it's something to take into account. I thought a couple of times tonight when you saw guys playing their opposite sides, there's issues with that. And maybe it doesn't matter over the course of the season it doesn't, the big picture doesn't necessarily matter. But on small portions of the games, especially against good teams, and especially when games matter later on, the guys need to be where they're comfortable. So it's kind of like you stick them there for a long time. It's like Francois Beauchemin, for example, in Anaheim. He's playing his off wing this year. Sorry, last year he played his off wing. They hucked him there and he played great. You know what? He was in the talk for the Norris, and he's still there this year. Today, he played with Lindholm, their rookie defenseman, picked 3 picks before Trouba, who I thought actually had a good game. But the idea is Boschman's there the whole year. So it's kind of like you stick him on the other side, on his offside, and let him go, or you don't, but you kind of don't, you don't, you don't,
you don't
pick
put
and
him,
choose,
you don't, you don't jerk him around from one side to the other. I see what you're saying. That was the game-winning goal for the Anaheim Ducks, Corey Perry, at the 14:29 mark of the third period. The Jets didn't have much all game, and they certainly didn't have much to respond to that. They couldn't even get the puck out of their own zone when they had the goalie pulled. Everybody was going backwards. Yeah. The crowd was not having much of it in terms of cheering them on. It was just all sorts of ugly for the Winnipeg Jets tonight.
Yeah, Drew, just messy all around. Well, Sunday night game, they look lackadaisical, and if you're Jets,
they got four straight Sunday night games in the next 4 weeks, so they better not look lackadaisical.
Well, I tell you, if you're, and there's some intense executives up here who sit up here at the press box, and they can't be happy about it. And too much like the last two seasons tonight's game.
Yeah,
they didn't. There was an effort thing tonight. I thought that's
a fair comment.
And Noel's got to get these guys going.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
It falls on the players and him, both of them. And you can't have this kind of, because you didn't lose today because of, the lack of execution, I think, was because of a lack of effort. And that's never a good thing. Mm-hmm. You want to try hard and lose, fine. You do what you did today.
Yeah. They mailed it in. I mean, it was an effort problem as opposed to an execution problem.
And the problem is it comes easy, right? You had some execution problems in Edmonton, you won. You had some execution problems against LA the first period. Pavlik bailed you out, you won. But you can say Pavlik bailed him out of the 3 games, really. But the idea is, That won't happen for a long time. That's not going to continue to happen. You can't get out 2-1 outshot and just get, and you just win. You almost win this game. 2-1, as you mentioned, outshot 34-17, doubled up against a team that's not great defensively. Who played last night? Back to back early in the season or not? You could go both ways on whether or not that's a factor. They did play. Tamos Lanny got up, got into 1:30, signing autographs. These guys didn't get to bed till 3 o'clock in the morning. They're used to it and all that. Blah blah blah. The Jets had a nice game on Friday. Nice sleep. They're chilling. And they came out tonight, and they brought nothing. And I got to be concerned if I'm the Jets in terms of one thing. It's 3 games into the season. I don't want to overstate it, but LA and Anaheim both come into town, both played Minnesota the night before, and you had two brutal first periods. That's got to change.
And it's not that they had a great first period in Edmonton either.
Also true.
So that could be a factor. You got to watch how they're going to be doing in terms of their starts to the game. In terms of ice time, Dustin Byfuglien led the Winnipeg Jets in time on ice, 24 minutes and 44 seconds. Amongst forwards, it was Evander Kane, 21 minutes and 56 seconds for Evander Kane. All in all, not a great performance for the Winnipeg Jets tonight. They do go down in defeat to the Anaheim Ducks by a 3-2 margin. For my colleague Richard Pollock, for Dave Manuk of IllegalCurve.com, and for Ezra Ginsberg, of course, of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, both of whom brought you audio from both the home and the road dressing rooms tonight. For producer Michael Remus, I'm your host of the Illegal Curve postgame podcast, Drew Mindell. We remind you, Wednesday night, 6 p.m. on TSN 1290. It's NHL Midweek with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Until then, thanks for listening.